stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
Hi everyone, it's Dave. Right, I've got lots of call-ins to get through, including this whole bunch of really encouraging responses to my announcement that I'm going to do a zine detailing the Mud Harbour setting of my Black Hat game for Zine Quest. That's going to be launched in February. I've been putting out quite long ones recently, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to do something slightly different here. I'm just going to play you all of the call-ins, and then I'm going to give you a few little thoughts I recorded throughout the week as I was thinking about my planning for Zine Quest. They all kind of connect and interrelate, but I'm not going to respond in detail to each of the call-ins, just to keep this one within my 20-minute aim. So thanks everybody for these call-ins, and I will get on with them.
Hey Dave, Jason here. Just want to let you know, I think your idea for using Mud Harbour for the zine is great. I apologize, I'm probably a little hard to understand. I'm still stuffed up. I was on the precipice of doing Zine Quest myself. I've got an idea I'd like to do, but we've got an uptick at work. And some of the free time I thought I'd have, I'm not going to have now. So I don't think I'll have all the writing done by the end of January. And I'm adamant that I won't launch a zine unless I have all the writing done. I don't mind having to send it out to be edited. And I don't mind having to get art later. But the core writing has to be done. So I probably won't enter Zine Quest, unfortunately. But I think that's a great idea that you have. And I hope you can pull it together. And I look forward to back in your zine. So, talk to you later.
Hi, it's Edwin again. Mud zine. Absolute, definitely in for that one. I love the Mud Harbour setting. You can probably tell I've... it's Bill's adopted town. So I'm happy to do anything I can to help. I don't know anything about producing zines, but if there's anything you want me to do, let me know. And best of luck with it all. No doubt we'll hear a lot more about it.
Hey, Josh Beckelheimer here, and I am super excited for your zine quest. I cannot wait. And I'm really curious to see how you guys print those and stitch them by hand. I'm excited. Like, I don't know if you're going to be using, like, big hole punchers and just using some string. Nice string. Not crap that's going to fall apart. But I'm curious what you're all going to do. Or if you're just literally going to stitch those bad boys one by one. But if you need any help with anything, just let me know, since I guess I'm no longer doing my zine quest. But, again, I'm super excited for yours.
Hi Dave, it's Liren from Updates from the Middle of Nowhere. I am just catching up. I just listened to, I believe it's two episodes ago, where you started your episode asking about cultural appropriation. And you know, it's an interesting subject. Years ago, I played in a game of Ganakagak with the person who wrote it, running it. And I loved that game. I thought it was moving and, you know, engaging, and I really adored it. And then I found out that he actually got quite a bit of blowback about cultural appropriation, just because there were similar themes to like Inuit people. And it really made me stop and think, okay, so first of all, I'm not anything but like a, you know, white bread American. So I don't think I can really understand what it feels like to have my culture appropriated. Uh-oh, back in a sec. Okay, I'm back. And I think, I don't know, that's an interesting conundrum. I think if you do anything that's similar to anything else, you're going to run into people who get offended if you don't handle it the way they think you should. That said, I think there are certainly things that have been handled in a very derogatory and stereotypical way to the point that they probably deserve some extra attention. I don't know that, like, kung fu stuff and martial arts and that whole genre, I don't know if it's been treated that way. You know what? It doesn't affect me, so I feel like I would have to do some research to find out. And some people would say that makes me a big old snowflake, and that's okay with me. I like snowflakes. They're unique, and they're fun to catch on your tongue. Anyway, good luck. All right, time to go finish the episode.
So I'm sat here in my car, just about to go to work, and it's come to me that what Mud Harbour needs, of course, and hasn't got yet, it might to a certain extent allay some of my concerns about cultural appropriation, making it clear that this is an old school fantasy creation. But what it needs is some thick vein of something else, something which draws from some other genre or influence. So I've already got I left the whole pirate theme in because originally Mud Harbour was a pirate city, a sort of Port Blacksand city. But even that, even that's fairly in genre. A lot of your kung fu films play on the relationship with various colonial powers. So even having a more sort of Western themed pirate streak doesn't really get it away from the source material. So I'm thinking Mud Harbour should have something else, which you know, inflects the whole setting in a new way. And that should probably be something under the influence of one of the classic old school modules. So maybe it's a crashed alien spaceship and some kind of alien technology or something like that. But I think that might help to make it further distinctive. I did notice, I'm reading through my advanced fantasy genre rules, Gavin Norman's Old School Essentials Advanced Fantasy Genre Rules, and I see that there is no monk class because Gavin intends an entire book on Asian-themed adventuring, an entire genre book, is to come at some point. So I might catch hold of Gavin and see if I can pick his brains on whether he's had concerns about issues of cultural appropriation, whether he's going to address that either through his writing team. I think he tends to do everything himself. Or whether he's had other thoughts on it. If I get a reply, I'll fill you in. More Mud Harbour related news. I'm thinking of promising a delivery by September. What do they call it? Fulfillment of the Kickstarter by September. So the campaign will run in February. But I've got a couple of busy terms, really. I want to do the Kickstarter as part of ZineQuest, or I won't do it. But I'm wary of promising to fulfil before September, because that gives me, if I promise September, I've got my August summer holiday to get everything done. If there are any things that still need thrashing out, if there's people I've got to chase up for content with the stretch goals or whatever, I can get it all done by or during August. So I think that's reasonable, promising a September. I know that well, some of the zines from last year haven't fulfilled yet. I don't want to be one of those. But I'm also aware that some of them didn't promise an immediate completion. So I would hope to fulfil it much sooner than that, because it's written, Claire's doing the art now. But things like the stretch goals won't actually be produced until after, because obviously they will be dependent on payment probably for other writers or artists or whatever. So I think I'm promising end of August, so start of September for fulfillment, and that's how that will have to be. I had some thoughts when I was talking about my Mud Harbour hex flowers originally about the tendencies of the die rolls and tending towards some central location, but also putting an exit of the district on the hex flower. I think I've got it sorted now. I've just taken inspiration from the way Goblin's Henchman does it in his Carapace little module that you can get on Drive-Thru RPG. Obviously, lots of credit must go to Goblin's Henchman for the innovation of the hex flower. I'm very grateful to him for coming up with that. But I think I'm going to put an exit at the top of the hex flower, and I will put the central location of the district at the bottom. Strongest tendency is sort of downwards rather than upwards. And then I had some correspondence from Goblin's henchmen asking me about what I was going to do with, when people were deliberately trying to exit the district. And I think I'll do it the way he does it in Carapace. So in Carapace, he says getting out is easier than going in. And if the players are deliberately trying to get out of the district, I'll just give them the opportunity to, after their roll, to shift the face that they exit the hex through by one. So it has to adjoin the one that they rolled, but they could shift it by one if, in so doing, they offer themselves a shorter route to the exit. And I think that covers it, really. That will mean if they're deliberately going out, they'll be able to sort of divert their path towards that. And then just to emphasise that the idea of the hex flower is that you don't map Mud Harbour. So the hex flowers for each district come into their own when you're in a chase and you want to know what's around the corner, or when you are simply exploring. And normally they would start at that exit stroke entrance point of the hex, of the hex flower, I suppose. But if they are leaving a particular shop or location, I suppose one could simply place the token that tracks their movement on a hex that corresponds to that location. But I think that's how I'm going to cover that. The ones I've got are working pretty well with that arrangement, if you were interested in how the engine was going to contribute to mapping Mud Harbour. Still haven't got that exactly right, because I want to put my rarer locations at the top and my more common ones at the bottom. So I don't necessarily want the exit to be contiguous automatically to the rarer location. So I'm thinking I might actually put the exit in the middle. I'm still mucking around with it. I mean, a lot of this depends on the purpose with which the characters are travelling. I mean, what the hex flower will do wonderfully is if you just say, let's wander around Mud Harbour, and then they will generate an interesting route for you, including occasionally you coming to the exit and swapping hex flowers because you've moved into a different district. So that's all quite fun. But then I think if the players are purposeful and sort of know where they're going, I mean, if they're purposeful and don't know where they're going, then again, they're just thrown back to the pure randomness. But I think in the same way I suggested, if they're looking for the exit, if they're looking for a particular type of location or a specific location, then I might give them that opportunity of affecting the random roll by one face of the hex. And then maybe if they're under pressure, so they're in a chase, maybe they have to make a wisdom roll to be able to do that. And otherwise they are thrown back on the pure randomness of the hex flower. I mean, the hex flowers are pretty much sorted and populated. It's just these considerations about what purposes I want to put them to that are making me just shuffle around a few bits. Oh, and if you want to know more about hex flowers, you can check out Barney on his Loco Ludus show has just put out a 2-hour interview with Goblin's henchman about hex flowers, and I would recommend checking it out. All right, and that is it from me today. Thanks a lot to my callers. Thanks for all those words of encouragement, offers of help from Liren of Updates from the Middle of Nowhere podcast. Liren, I'm still hoping we can get you into one of these sessions at some point. We'd love to have you in the game. Josh Beckelheimer of JB Publishing. Yeah, I maybe heard an intention that maybe you were perhaps going to get back into Zine Quest with some different content. I'd be really keen to see that, Josh. Let me know if there's anything I can do to support you in that. Thanks to Edwin and to Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast. Don't forget, the Purple Worm is managing to put something out fairly regularly on a Monday. So we've got a bonus call-in episode coming, I think, on Monday. And then we'll be carrying on with our Riddling Reaver actual play. And look out for more announcements on Mud Harbor. You can get those in the Deep Percentile Discord server or follow me on Twitter. I'll catch you soon.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at d_percentile.